I don't know about you, but I just can't get my day started without my cup of Java. Next Tuesday, September 29th, is National Coffee Day, and I am just getting jittery even thinking about it. But before we talk to Charity Martin and Tiffany Robertson of Sunnyside Cup, we're first going to hear from Darrell Rochelle, a young man who is an entrepreneur several times over. His latest venture is GeForce Security. Sit tight. We're going to talk coffee. We're going to talk security. I'm Monty Brule, and you're listening to Start It Up.
We will respond to your questions, so follow us on Twitter at StartItUpGuru. Visit our website, startitup.guru, for more information.
I'm talking today with Darrell Rochelle, and whenever we talk to young entrepreneurs, Darrell, I always want to know, how did they get their start? Did you have a lemonade stand as a kid growing up? Did you have a role model who is an entrepreneur? How did you get started?
So my story is kind of funny how I was introduced to entrepreneurship. I was on the debate team. So I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Mason West, and he started this group of kids. We were in the Tyler 10th Leadership Program. And what that consisted of was we had to find problems in our community that we can solve. So we were agents of social change. About a year into the program, we were introduced to Launch Chattanooga. And so it started off as an after-school program, and we had to stay after school. And these people would come in and say, you know, what I want you to do is figure out, start a business. What in your community could you change using the business model? So we got into our groups with team members, and we came up with businesses. And later on into the program, they said, well, little did you all know, we're going to give the winners of this competition 30 grand to start a business. And that 30 grand consisted of seed prizes like lawyer fees and consultant fees and all of that stuff. And it had $2,500 in startup money in there. So that was a big start in where I was introduced into entrepreneurship. Myself and another team member, we won. We started a business called Lingua Coco. It originated as Go-To Chocolates. And what we wanted to be was a window to the world using chocolate to introduce people into different cultures. So that's where my entrepreneurship start came from.
Were you an accidental entrepreneur, or did this just tap into a spirit that was already inside you?
I've always said, you know, I want to be my own boss. I cannot deal with people just bossing me around all day. So I have to be my own boss. And then I just like one day the light shined and this great program was introduced to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to be my own boss. So I took advantage of it.
Well, I've always said that I got into the startup world because I'm a very bad employee. So I can appreciate what you're talking about there. So, you know, I know that my mother has been very instrumental in my life, and I believe that that's true for you too.
Yes, sir.
How has your mother supported you?
I've always been the so my brothers and sisters were into like sports. One brother was like, he was the head of the band. My other brother was like football, track, and my sister was cheerleader, dance. And I was always the one that just went to all the events and wanted to run the front door and wanted to work in the concession stands and wanted to make sure everything was running smooth. So my mom would always say, we have to find something for you to do. We have to find something for you to do. So she would always send me to these programs and camps and things to kind of nurture that. So my mom was always like, she was always in my corner. She's still always in my corner. But she always pushed me to kind of step outside my comfort zone. I believe that's one thing that I always tell people. If you're comfortable, then you're not progressing. But when you're uncomfortable, you're making progression. So she always pushed me outside of my comfort zone and just told me, you know, you can do it. Keep going. And she was at all of my events, and I always could see her in the crowd.
Well, it's great that you have been successful, Darrell, and that you've launched Lingua Chocolates and you've got GeForce Security that we're going to talk about. But if we stop the story here, if it's just you, then you're the token young entrepreneur. Huh. The real trick, the way we will know that we're really successful, is when we have replicated you, when we've made other people as successful as you. So you graduated from Howard. What are you going to tell the kids at Howard that they need to do so that they can be as successful as you are?
I mean, my speech to all of the Howard students is, I've been in their shoes, so I know how it is to have to deal with the public. I mean, I feel like the public was a big role in us growing up in the Howard School, I will always tell the students at Howard School to don't be afraid to make people think otherwise of you. You know, step out there, take the opportunities given that your friends aren't taking. That's what happened to me. Most of my friends didn't think about entrepreneurship, you know, and I was like, well, I'm going to do it. I mean, you don't want to stay out of school, but I'm going to stay. I will always tell them to, you know, introduce yourself to people. You know, you never know who walks into the front of your school and you never introduce yourself to them, but that could be the person who's paying your tuition later on in life. So, I mean, when I always talk to Howard students, I say, take the challenges that no one else would take. And if you fall, call me and I'll come help you get back up.
Well, I think you and I met at Tech Town. Cordell Carter, who's head of Tech Town, told me a little bit about your story and said, you know, this is a story we've got to share. So I'm really happy that introduction and your initiative has led to your being here today. Tell me about G4 Security, because you're handling all of the security for Tech Town. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're very, very, very grateful for that contract. So before I really thought about getting into the security world, I am still a Chattanooga Police Explorer. Before business came into picture, I wanted to go into law enforcement. My school resource officer saw that in me, and she's just like, I got a program for you. And that was when I was in the ninth grade. And she would begin taking me to the police department, and we began to learn how to do searches, how to handcuff, how to do takedowns, how to do all this different stuff we were learning to do, how to do traffic stops and things. And she fed into that law enforcement potential that I had. I would always go to events, and I would see security officers. Most of them were unhappy, and most of them were too up on a high horse. And, you know, they were, I'm the security. It was always that feel. And I said, what if we created this event. I will always go back to my school resource officer and we would talk. I said, what if we created this team of people, you know, that worked the events, but they were a part of the crowd? You know, you felt like they were a part of the family. And you, instead of being so against the crowd, they were for the crowd. And I found that going to Howard High School, that when you have a relationship with somebody, it's harder for them to do things that you don't like, and it's harder for you to do things to them that they don't like. So what I decided to do was start a security business that bridged the gap between the crowd, the people, the performer, the whoever we're working for, no matter the job. So that's how G4ce was started. I mean, I've been a Chattanooga Police Explorer going on 4 years now. So I have a lot of experience within, like, working events and doing different stuff. I know a lot of officers. So they were always telling me, go ahead, do it. All the officers I know. And they were like, you know, when those contracts roll in, don't forget to call us. So I've got like a black book full of officers who say, yeah, you done it. Call me now. So that's what I'm working on.
So you know, went to Howard School. You were a police explorer. You are in the entrepreneurial community. You sort of have a lot of different perspectives that you're bringing to the table. We see so much going on with police and law enforcement across the country and communities. From the unique perspective that you have, what's going on? Why is there so much animosity between the police force and certain communities?
I think it all starts with respect, first of all. I grew up in Highland Park, Paws Homes, West Side, so we moved around a lot. So in school, I was always the guy who would be the peer mediator. Before the police would get there, you see me like, dude, calm down. The smarter way to do it is to make all the police your friends. That way, when you do act out or something happens, you're like, uh-oh, you know, my friend's there. She's not taking me to jail. She's going to give me a talk. She's going to call my mom. We're going to talk this over. It all comes down to respect is what I tell people. You know, they have a job to do. If you don't like it, you know, grow up and do their job and help change the mindset. I think it's a mindset within the communities. But within the police force, I think they're just perceived as bad people, and most of them aren't bad. You know, you always have the bad apple, but most of them aren't bad. So I just think it's a perception that a lot of people are living on, that a lot of people have to get their own experience and then live off their own perception.
Is there a role for G4ce to play in the Chattanooga community? How do you see G4ce being a liaison between the community and the police force?
Oh, that's a great question. So I was thinking, there's a lot of things that I kind of battle with within my head. Showing the community that, you know, there is friendships within the Chattanooga Police Department. You know, there is these community-led events. I've been working through the Police Explorer program to kind of start the community-led things where the officers will go play basketball with the children, where, you know, more officers are out of their cars and riding bikes through the neighborhood. So there's a lot of things that I see that not just G4ce, but me as using the background and the things that I've done to kind of bridge the gap between the local law enforcement and the communities.
You got your start at Launch Chattanooga, but now you're involved as a mentor there, I guess. What are you doing with Launch right now?
So I currently also work for Launch, and I am the high school business coach. So what happens is, as we teach entrepreneurship in these classes, I follow up with the students, and I kind of keep them going within their business idea. I try to connect them to some of the people that I have connected to and things like that. It's one thing to go into a school and teach something, but it's even better when you have somebody who sat there, somebody who's already doing it, somebody who's still going along with it, to kind of motivate the kids even more. So now I'm the high school business coach at Launch Chattanooga, and I just work to keep the high school business that we have going.
You've already given some pretty good advice to people your age, you know, seize the opportunities that other people, you know, won't. But the number one thing that keeps anybody, no matter what their age, from starting a business is fear. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people to help them to overcome the fear that they have about taking the leap?
I always say a no won't hurt. That's what I always say. I mean, a no won't hurt me, you know, tell me no, that's fine. But then I'm going to come back in a week, make it even better, and you're going to end up telling me yes. Just keep pushing. There's so much out there to be done. And I think what people fail to realize is, if you got a good plan, there are always people who are willing to follow behind you. So develop a plan, you know, find the problem, create the solution, and create a path of how you're going to get to that solution. And I'm pretty sure there'll always be people willing to follow you there.
What would our city be like? Well, what would the world be like if we taught every young person to be the master of their destiny? I'm so glad that we have people like Darrell who are starting at a young age to take responsibility for their future. Now's the time to get a refill, because after the break, we'll be talking with Charity Martin and Tiffany Robertson of Sunnyside Cup. I'm Monty Brule, and this is Start It Up.
Support comes from Rapid RMS, developing custom point-of-sale systems for retailers, restaurants, and direct sales organizations. Rapid RMS provides iPad and cloud-based solutions, including robust inventory management and reporting. Learn more at rapidrms.com. Support for WUTC comes from 212 Market Restaurant, casual downtown dining, weekend brunch, solar deck, takeout, catering, and bakery. 212, 23 years of local foods and green practices. 212market.com.
Like so many people, I start my day with a cup of coffee. And most days, I get my coffee at Sunnyside Cup. What's unique about Sunnyside Cup is it's not a coffee house, it's not a coffee shop, it's a double drive-through trailer on Broad Street. And they have fabulous coffee. I'm glad to be talking today with Charity Martin and Tiffany Robertson, two ladies that I wake up to every morning. I'm Monty Brule, and you're listening to Start It Up.
We will respond to your questions, so follow us on Twitter at StartItUpGuru. Visit our website, startitup.guru, for more information.
Who knew there was such a thing as National Coffee Day? But yes, there is one, September 29th. And so to celebrate National Coffee Day, I wanted to get two of my favorite baristas to come in and talk about the love of coffee. Charity, Tiffany, how are y'all today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Monty?
I am fantastic. It's a little surreal seeing you, and we're at the same level where you're not looking down from a window at me, because you have a very unusual coffee shop. You have a coffee shop that's in a trailer. Tell me a little bit about Sunnyside Cup.
Sunnyside Cup is a drive-through only coffee hut, and we serve fresh brew coffee as well as espresso drinks, and we have delicious baked goods, including a gluten-free frittata. We have muffins, scones, bananas, and seasonal fruit.
So were you looking around town and you said, there are just too many people lounging around all of these coffee shops. They should be on the move. I think I'm going to open a double drive-through. They don't even have to slow down. They can just stick out their hand and get a cup of coffee. I mean, where did the idea come from?
My sister and I are natives of Alaska. We are Alaskan grown. And in the Pacific Northwest, coffee huts are a mainstay of that region. And they're terribly convenient for folks like me who are very busy. And although I love the opportunity to have a few extra moments to actually go into a coffee shop, get a pastry, get a cup of coffee, sit down and enjoy myself, the reality of my life is that it's very rare that I actually have the time to do that. And the convenience of Sunnyside Cup is that you can quickly get in, get out, and get a delicious cup of coffee. However you like it, Sunnyside Cup can give that to you.
So, Charity, Chattanooga isn't exactly adjacent to Anchorage. How did your sister Melody and you find your way from Alaska to Tennessee?
In 1998, I left my home in Anchorage and moved here to Lookout Mountain to attend Covenant College. And I went to Covenant for 4 years and met my husband, and we got married the day after I graduated and decided to settle into Chattanooga. We love Chattanooga primarily because of our community of friends. Folks in Chattanooga are really wonderful, very generous, friendly, awesome people. And we decided that this was the place for us, so we settled in quickly and have been here. I've been here now for 17 years. My sister, Melody, it was after she had graduated from college. She went to Seattle Pacific University. And after she met her husband and they got married, they were trying to figure out where to settle. And because my husband and I were here and she got a job here, they decided to head this way. And they've been here a little over 5 years now.
So how does the coffee culture in Chattanooga compare to the culture in Alaska? How is it similar? How is it different?
I would say that in Chattanooga, there is a artisan take on coffee. And there's wonderful education of its, you know, coffee patrons to discover the finer notes of coffee and the flavors. And I think that the baristas here are doing a wonderful service to Chattanooga to educate its residents on what a good coffee looks like, or and what it tastes like, and how to enjoy it. I believe that's also happening in Anchorage, Seattle, the Pacific Northwest. But because of the climate in the Pacific Northwest, folks seem to prefer coffee that's akin to maybe leaded paint, or, you know, they want it heavy and dark and strong because it has everything to do with getting warm and getting through their day. In Chattanooga, I think it allows for a lighter or a medium roast or a cold brew, you know, just is able to cater to the climate and the weather here a little bit differently than it is in the Pacific Northwest.
One of the measurements of a vibrant startup community is the number of coffee shops that a community has. Mm-hmm. And as a startup coffee shop, what was the process like of getting the company going? Did you plug into any of the startup resources that are available here in Chattanooga?
We did. We began with our friends, our community group, discussing the idea, throwing it around, seeing if it would float. And then my sister and I signed up for the Co-Starters Small Business class, which is a 12-week class that meets once a week for, you know, 3 or 4 hours. And that was a great resource for us in throwing around ideas, in airing out our plan, and also in giving us new tools and new resources that we weren't aware of in Chattanooga. And then from there, we went to the Business Development Center and attended several classes there, as well as tapping into the resources that exist at the Business Development Center to support small businesses like us.
So what were some of the major takeaways from those two experiences? What did you learn from Co-Starters? What did you learn from the Business Development Center?
From Co-Starters, there was a evening that invited a lawyer from, I believe it was Chambliss Bonner. And we got to have 2 hours with this lawyer with question and answer time. We had a lot of questions about zoning and about permits and about the legalities of what it would look like to bring a concept to Chattanooga that doesn't exist before. So we were trailblazing and had a lot of questions about what that would look like.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there because I've heard story after story about how hard it can be to get a food truck up and running. So are you considered a food truck of sorts because you're in this mobile facility, or because you're only in one location, are you considered a stationary brick and mortar business?
The city of Chattanooga considers us as a semi-permanent mobile food truck. However, we don't prepare food at Sunnyside Cup.
But you sell food.
We sell food that's been prepared at a bakery with all of the credentials that's needed. However, we don't prepare any food at Sunnyside Cup. So the food that we sell is already prepackaged. We just offer it to our patrons to go with their cup of coffee. And so we're an anomaly, and we're trailblazing here. Like, the city was very gracious in meeting with us and helping us figure out who are we, what's the best way for us to proceed, and we're very generous in allowing us to move forward.
So you actually, I think, get your baked goods from Dish to Pass.
That's correct.
Our food love.
Would you like some coffee with that sugar and cream? Well, stick around. There'll be more with Charity and Tiffany from Sunnyside Cup after the break. I'm Monty Brule, and you're listening to Start It Up.
Support for WUTC comes from Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise, assisting in making home ownership a possibility through loans and educational services. More information at cneinc.org.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Charity Martin and Tiffany Robertson of Sunnyside Cup. No better place to have a cup of joe. I'm Monty Brule, and this is Start It Up. Tiffany, how did you come to find your way to Sunnyside Cup?
Well, Mel is married to my cousin Jacob, and when they were thinking of starting Sunnyside Cup, Mel contacted me last fall and asked if I would be interested in joining as a team member to Sunnyside Cup. I was living in California, in beautiful sunny California, and thought that a move to Chattanooga sounded interesting, as well as the opportunity to work with the startup and to serve one of my favorite things, which is coffee.
And what's the experience been like? What do you like about it?
Sunnyside Cup has been very fulfilling. It's really such a joy to be a part of people's day and their routine in the mornings. Especially the community here in Chattanooga, I found to be very receptive, and they love, you know, the concept of Sunnyside Cup. They love what we're doing. They love the food, and everybody's very supportive and encouraging to what we're doing and what we're serving. And it's really exciting to learn people's names and learn about the community here in Chattanooga. That, and especially after just moving to Chattanooga, it's been a great way for me personally to learn what's happening, learn, you know, where are good hikes to go to, what are fun things to see or adventures to go on, and, you know, concerts, anything that's happening in Chattanooga. It's a great place for me to get plugged in as well.
Charity, do you and Melody have plans for global coffee domination?
Absolutely.
So we can expect more semi-permanent coffee huts to pop up around the area.
That's our plan. We're in the very preliminary stages of deciding where would be a great spot for our next Sunnyside Cup location. And we're doing our research, and we're open to ideas. Sunnyside Cup opened its windows on May 1st. So we've only been open and operating for just over 3 months. We're still figuring out some kinks, figuring out who our patrons are, but we do have big plans to continue to grow in Chattanooga. And then world domination is next.
What's been the most surprising thing about operating Sunnyside Cup? What has happened that you didn't expect to happen?
In the early days, we had a generator Well, we still have a generator, but we were operating our generator. We were running it to receive power. And there were a few times when the generator would overheat and we would lose power, which was always very exciting in the middle of a rush. As well as there was one morning when Tiffany and I were there and there was a close call with the generator's exhaust overheating on a piece of wood. So that made for a very exciting 5:30 a.m. adventure. And of course, all of us were okay, but you know, it was a little scary there, a little surprising.
So is there a secret sauce in Sunnyside Cup? Do you have a roaster hidden in your trailer?
We get our coffee beans from Mayfly Coffee. They are locally owned and operated on Signal Mountain. They have amazing business values that we respect and are very proud to serve their coffee.
Now, if people want to learn more about Sunnyside Cup or maybe even come by and have a cup of coffee, how can they do that?
We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we just launched a website, sunnysidecupchat.com, where you can learn about our hours, about our location, about our menu, our t-shirts, and the goings-on of Sunnyside Cup.
And you're located on Broad Street, right?
That's correct, next to the Twice the Ice Machine, across from the Sadlery Building and down from the Wendy's.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming by, and I look forward to celebrating National Coffee Day with you.
Thank you, Monty. It was wonderful to be here.
You've heard me say before that not every business has to scale to 100 locations and 5,000 employees. Sometimes we're just looking for a better way of life. We just want to make a difference for ourselves, our friends, our families, and that's all right. So we've heard from two unique businesses today. A security company started by a guy not yet out of his teens, and another company, a coffee company, started by two sisters from Alaska who came to Chattanooga to pursue a dream. So I'm here to tell you, there shouldn't be anything that you let stand in your way. I hope you've been inspired by today's show, because I know I have. You've been listening to Start It Up, and I'm your host, Monty Brule. Start It Up is a production of Be A Grizzly Media. Our executive producer is Tara Veland. And remember, if you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly. Come on.